privatization of the military more than there already is, I think are all things that we can all say when we're talking with friends. The other thing I wanted to let you know out there in the audience that you can do is this show right now will be archived within an hour. It will be on the website under today's schedule, under this show. You can just, right at the bottom of it, you can easily share it to Facebook, to Twitter. You can put it on your email list and send out the link to friends. Educate everybody you know about Afghanistan from today. That makes a huge difference. If you can do nothing else, share today's talk and pass it on. We're now running out of time. I want to thank you once again. Yeah,
thank you for having me. Thanks, Cebu, and places like Cebu.
Yes, and we will keep our hearts and our minds with you as you return to Afghanistan and be thinking about you and looking forward to the next time we can hear from you.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I want to thank Tammy, our engineer today. Our director of the AM News is Derek Crooks. I want to thank him for setting up this interview. And I want to thank all of you who listened and called in today. You do make a difference, even just with your ears.
And we must make a difference.
And we must make a difference. That's right. So thank you again for being KBOO listeners.
Yeah, thanks.
It's 10 o'clock here at KBOO, KBOO Portland. We have one announcement, then we'll get right to Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival, Saturday, August 19th and Sunday, August 20th at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. The Montevilla Jazz Festival is a two-day festival that showcases the very best in original Portland jazz. The 2017 festival will host 12 performances over 2 days, featuring the Blue Cranes, Rebecca Kilgore, and is headlined by Portland's own Essiet Essiet. Again, that's the Montevilla Jazz Festival, Saturday, August 19th and Sunday, August 20th at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course, your fake news radio. All of that, 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Imagine squeezing all that radio into a tiny little frequency. Wow. We know how to stomp on it. And apparently so does the rough beast. Slouching towards Bethlehem, missed, and wound up in a golf course in New Jersey. Well, those are the breaks sometimes. It just hasn't stopped the rough beast from signing off on a death warrant for all of us. Although it's so highly unlikely. People in South Korea are not that exercised over Kim Jong-il, but they're certainly worried about Trump. They may eat dirt and leaves for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the north, but they know crazy when they see it. And wow, I imagine if North Koreans got wind of the election of Donald Trump and managed to view any of the proceedings that screwed him into place, then they must have thought, another one in charge of the most powerful country in the world? Well, yeah, it happened, and we didn't do anything about it. We're more culpable than anybody. We're worse than the Republicans. Anybody wouldn't stop this. We're not even a foot in the door. Anyway, that said, we do have weather. So far, so weather, not fallout, but it's still weather. Patchy smoke, mostly cloudy, gradually sunnying up. Well, with a high near 90 and light wind tonight. Patchy smoke again, persisting. Lows around 63 for tomorrow. I'm not going to say that again. It's going to be hazy, then sunny, then a high of 90. And then it's night again, and everybody can. It's safe to go outside under clear skies. Lows around 64. That's it for the weather. And we've got a wonderful guest lined up for you. Very generously, just agreed to talk with us today on somewhat 11th hour basis. Tim Shorrock is joining us this morning. Shorrock is a Washington-based journalist. Spent part of his youth in South Korea, and of course has been writing about the North and South Korea since the late 70s. Just came back from a two-month stay in Gwangju, South Korea, where during this was a really exciting presidential election. I watched it like a hawk, and my our guy won, so that's pretty exciting. So we've got a really great, sane, a progressive leader in South Korea now, President Moon Jae-in. He writes about the U.S.-Korea relations, Shorrock does, for The Nation and the Korea Center for Investigative Reporting. And we're so glad to have Tim Shorrock joining us today. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Well, this situation we have here, the rhetoric, of course, is a lot more ferocious, I imagine, than the reality. And a lot of people are in South Korea are saying, well, just more of the same. If anyone in North Korea is able to Google the word Guam, they'll find out it's bristling with weaponry. It two-thirds of it is military. It's the most one of the most heavily armed spots anywhere. So what did Guam do to North Korea to provoke this? Well, we know that it's a target. That's good enough, and it's American, and that makes it exactly the target that he wishes to talk about. But Tillerson seems to suggest that there might still be room for dialogue. What do you hear?
What the North Koreans said about Guam was, they have a plan in case there's a war. They would attack use military force in Guam. Why Guam? Well, that's where the U.S. flies its bombers from.
Yeah.
B-2 bombers are based there, and flew over Korean skies yesterday, and they consistently. The U.S. consistently flies these bombers over Korean skies to send a message to North Korea that these, forces in Guam are ready at any moment to attack North Korea. So they see Guam as a strategic target. But it was a plan they mapped out. It must be understood that the U.S. not only has plans, but the U.S. also has exercises that it carries out at least twice a year with South Korea where they practice military operations just like this. The U.S. Military exercises, for example, practice what they call decapitation strikes, where they send in assassins to kill the top leadership of North Korea. So, it's rhetoric, and it's escalating rhetoric, but they're talking about a real war. And, Trump's comments yesterday basically saying, he was prepared to use nuclear weapons on North Korea are just outrageous. And basically, he and Kim Jong-un, who has also been making statements that are very exaggerated, are basically holding the world hostage, making the entire world think a war is going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be a war. And I think this kind of ratcheting up the rhetoric just scares the hell out of people.
And but it should. Why are people have heard this before? I mean, Kim Jong Un is famous for, you know, apocalyptic rhetoric, and Trump certainly also. It's given that people to a certain degree heard it before. Do we still have any room for dialogue?
And because of course, there's room for dialogue. That's the only way that this is going to be settled. And then, you know, there's been dialogue for years with North Korea. That's, you know, there's been agreements that have come and gone, and but the most important agreement was the one that was signed in 1994 by President Clinton, where they froze their nuclear program for 12 years. They've kept other moratoriums for years. Mm-hmm. On missile testing and other things. But, you know, all of this really started going out of control at the end of the Bush administration and the beginning of the Obama administration, because one of the factors in the agreement in the 1990s was the U.S. promised to end its hostile policy to North Korea and open up full diplomatic and economic relationship with North Korea, and that never happened. And so North Korea saw that failure as U.S. reneging on its agreement, and so over time, as these various agreements have broken down, the North Koreans have said, okay, you won't stop your policy of enmity and hostility toward us, so we're going to defend ourselves. They look at places like Libya and places like Iraq, where the U.S. in place of Libya has used military force to overthrow government, and they believe that nuclear weapons and their missile program can protect them from that kind of attack. So, you know, the U.S. has got to deal with their fear of, you know, U.S. hostility and what that means. And they've got to deal with the U.S. concern about their nuclear weapons. So the only way that this can be resolved is by direct talks.
Yeah, I wonder, to what degree will President Moon Jae-in play a significant role in that, as at least would be a trusted broker?
Well, Moon Jae-in has been trying very hard, and he's, you know, 2 days ago, after a long meeting on the phone with President Trump, he put out a statement in which he stressed the importance of no war. There's not going to be a war. Military force is not the answer. But apparently, you know, President Trump didn't listen to that. But, you know, Moon has been, you know, making overtures to North Korea, but they see the close military relationship, they, meaning North Korea, sees the close U.S.-South Korean military relationship and the deployment of such systems as the THAAD and these military exercises is a sign that South Korea is basically, you know, subservient to the United States. And so, you know, he's in a very, puts him in a very difficult position. And he does have the support of South Korean people. As you mentioned, I was in South Korea for a couple of months recently. And, you know, people there really support any moves toward reconciliation and going back to the days of the sunshine policies that were promulgated by Kim Dae-jung and earlier progressive presidents, where during that time of the sunshine policies, you know, relations really opened up between North and South Korea. And many, many people from South Korea went to North Korea and vice versa. So they, you know, learned a lot about each other. And you know, North Korea, in South Korean eyes, became much less of a threat. And the U.S. policy of just cutting off North Korea and now banning travel to North Korea means that there's going to be even, you know, there's going to be even less communication between the U.S. and North Korea. And the, you know, the only way each side can change is to have engagement. And so, I don't know which way it's going to go. I do think that, you know, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Secretary of Defense Mattis are serious about, they keep saying that the policy is going to be diplomacy, and that's what they're working on. Tillerson the other day said he would welcome talks with North Korea. So, you know, hopefully those cooler heads will prevail over Trump. But, you know, Trump is being backed by, you know, very extreme forces, pro-military, pro-war forces. I think parts of the media are delighted that there might be a war with North Korea, particularly the networks like CNN. You never hear voices of peace on these networks.
Why don't they just fake a war? They could just like CGI a war and put it on the news, and Trump's followers would be happy. They'd be, know the difference. It would be like another one of those moon landing conspiracy things. But I apologize, Tim. We are out of time. I did want to ask you about the potential for accidents happening, even, you know, just as people begin to talk with one another. That is my fear, is the potential for an accident.
No, there's a potential for miscalculations.
Yes.
That's right. It's a very dangerous situation.
That's what.
I mean, that's why Tillerson tried to talk Trump down today and try to tell everyone to relax. Don't listen to him. But, I mean, it creates complications. It's a very serious situation.
Thank you so much for that. We so appreciate
you
joining us today. Our guest, of course, was Tim Shorrock, and engineering for us today, Tammy Dean. Thanks for that, Tammy. Derek Crooks is IAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Thank you.